Glory to God. Amen. The book of Jude. And so I'm just going to read a little bit, and then I have some things that I want to say to you and share with you this evening. And again, I'm reading from the New King James Version of the Bible. It begins with Jude, a bondservant of Jesus Christ and brother of James. And I also shared with you last week that not only is Jude the brother of James, but he's also half-brother of our Lord and Savior, Jesus. But as I shared with you last week, Jude didn't make a big thing out of that. He pointed out that he is the brother of James. Don't get me wrong, he had a lot to say about Jesus. But it wasn't about natural brotherhood. It was about him being our Lord. His Lord and his Savior. He knew how to separate the spiritual from the natural. And sometimes mankind can get puffed up over the natural, but it's the spiritual. That's more important in our life. In other words, our relationship spiritually with the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us always keep everything in its proper place. Let me go on. Jude, a bondservant of Jesus Christ and brother of James. Now listen what he says. To those who are called, sanctified by God the Father, and preserved in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. My testimony tonight is I'm called, sanctified, and preserved. How about you? I'm called, I'm sanctified, and I'm preserved. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We looked at a few verses last week. Matter of fact, we were there last week. Let's go there again. John chapter 10. I want to read that again. The Gospel of John, chapter 10. Beginning again at verse 27, where Jesus says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." If that's you, shout amen.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. Notice what he says here. My sheep hear my voice, and they follow me, and I give them eternal life. And they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. No one can take Jesus from me. I can turn and walk away. I can reject him, refuse him, but no one can take him from me. Hallelujah. You still here? And listen to what he says in verse 29. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. And no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. Glory to God. And he went on to say, I and my Father are one. Glory be to God. So we are preserved. God knows how to keep us. He knows how to keep us. He's well able to keep us. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I just want to read that again. Now let's go back to Jude. Let's look at verse 3. Well, let me finish verse 2. He says, mercy, peace, and love be multiplied to you. Hallelujah. Say, I receive that. Verse 3. Beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith, which was once for all delivered to the saints. He told us to contend for the faith. If anybody come to you with anything other than what the Word of God says, don't you receive it. Now, you have to understand, it's always been that way, but it's getting stronger. Because we are living in the last days. You hear me? We are living in the last of the last days. And we'll see it here in Jude. I don't know how far we'll get this evening, but we'll see it here in Jude. And I may even go to 2 Peter chapter 2, because they're very close in the subject matter. Do I have your ears? One of the things that the Christians were warned about, especially in the book of Hebrews, was that they must be careful that they don't allow the word that they have heard to slip away. The enemy is coming after your faith. Okay? Y'all still with me? Glory to God. So we're told to contend for the faith. Now, I want to mention three things here. That will cause us to slip away. Number one, if we tolerate sin in our lives. If we tolerate sin. Number two, a spirit of rebellion. How many of you know Christians can be hard-headed? How many of you know believers can be set in their ways? Huh? Amen. The third thing is deception. We gotta watch out for deception. Now, turn in your Bibles to the book of James. Just go backwards if you're turning a few pages. The fourth chapter. James, the fourth chapter. Now, James, the fourth chapter, many of you are very familiar with these verses. Verse 7, he says, therefore submit to God. You see that? Submit to God, resist the devil, and he will do what? Submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Look at verse 8. Draw near to God. You've heard me preach this and teach this many times. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. What's the next word? Cleanse. We don't have it on the screen, but I don't know what version you may be reading from, but I'm reading from New King James. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Talking about Christians is sinning. And purify your heart, you double-minded. If we will resist the devil, we have a promise from the Word of God that he's going to flee. He has to. He has no choice if we will stand our ground. But then we must draw close to God. And he's certainly going to draw close to us. We must learn from Scripture and how God dealt with other people in the Bible. What's written in this Bible is written there for our learning, for our admonition. Are you listening? Greatest enemy we have to face are temptations of the world. Temptations of the world. Because it can be subtle. It can be so subtle, so gradual. Here a little, there a little. All right, what am I talking about? Okay, let's look back at Jesus. Okay. After Jesus had fasted 40 days, what happened with him? He had an audience with the devil. the devil sought him out. First of all, he wanted to tempt his flesh because he was hadn't eaten for 40 days and 40 nights. He told him, says, listen, if you are the Son of God, like you say you are, turn these stones into bread. He wanted to tempt his flesh. But Jesus knew what to do, and we should too. Put the word of God on him. Resist him, and he'll flee. Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Amen. Hallelujah. All righty. He wasn't done that. Let's go over there. We'll come, hold your place here at Jude. We'll look at Luke's version. Luke chapter 4. Because, see, we are to learn from these things. Luke chapter 4, I'll just begin reading the very first verse. Then Jesus being filled with the Holy Spirit. Now let me say this before we move on. Just because you feel with the Spirit of God does not mean that you got to let your guard down. Just because God used you and God's worked some miracles through you, folks have been born again because of you, and great things have happened because of you, that is no reason to let your guard down. We see here that Jesus was filled with the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. And we all need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Is there amen in here? And we need to stay filled. Stay being filled. Then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Hallelujah. Sometimes the Spirit, Holy Spirit, will lead us places that we naturally don't want to go. But God always knows best. Look at somebody and say, God knows what's best for you. Hallelujah. So he was led into the wilderness. Verse 2, being tempted for 40 days by the devil, and in those days he ate nothing, and afterward, when they had ended, he was hungry. And that's when the devil came after his flesh. And the devil said to him, if you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread. And Jesus says, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. Hallelujah. Now, just because you win one victory, don't mean you got to sit down and rest, pat yourself on the back. Verse 3, and the devil said to him, if you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread. The devil will question your spirituality. he'll question your relationship or try to get you to question your relationship with God and who you really are. In the many years that I've been born again, walking with the Lord, and many years that I have been pastoring, I have talked to many people that were being attacked in this area. The devil tried to bring doubt into their life concerning their relationship with God. Pastor, am I really saved? Am I really saved? Am I really saved? Listen, you are to believe what God says and act on it and walk in it. Let me tell you something. We walk by faith and we don't walk by how we feel. Amen. You know, some of you husbands or some of you wives, sometimes you may not feel married. But you got paper somewhere that declares that you are. You don't walk by feeling. You walk by what your marriage license says and the commitment you made to God in the presence of a preacher, a justice of the peace, or whoever it was that married you, and to the person you married. Amen. So this has, our marriage relationship has nothing to do with feelings. Amen. I'm married to this woman whether I feel like it or not. Y'all grinning. I know y'all probably had a few of those times over the years, but we won't go there tonight. Hallelujah. But if you have received Jesus Christ into your heart, he came in. If you receive him by faith, he came in. A week from then, you may not feel saved, but you go back to what he says in his word. Amen. So, let me finish here. Then the devil takes him up on a high mountain and showed him, I'm a little ahead of myself, but he questioned Jesus, but Jesus knew who he was. Amen? Now let's go to verse 5. Then the devil taking him up on a high mountain showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said to him, all this authority I will give you and their glory, for this has been delivered to me, and I will give it to whomever I wish. Therefore, if you will worship before me, all will be yours. How many people have fallen for the same proposition? I've heard of people that were serving God, even singers, musicians, that were serving God, but somebody came to them and offered them a tremendous amount of money and popularity and got their name out there, and they went for it. I'm to the point, brothers and sisters, I don't care if anybody knows me as long as I'm serving God. That's what matters to me, is that I please him with my life. Jesus was offered the same deal. But you know what the devil wanted? He wanted to be worshiped. Whatever he gives you is going to cost you something. It's going to cost you something. Stay with God. Don't go. You serve God. God is more than able to provide for you everything you need. I think I'll say that again. God is more than able to provide for you everything you need. You don't have to sell out. You don't have to sell out. They may offer you thousands of dollars, but I'm here to tell you right now, you can't take it with you. Can't take it with you. Matter of fact, Jesus told us to be working on building our treasures up in heaven, because that's what's going to last. That's what's going to last. All right. How did Jesus respond? Verse 8. And Jesus answered and said to him, "Get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written." Now here he goes back to the word of God. Amen. How many of you know Jesus was a word man? Yeah. Yes, he was. And still is. Hallelujah. "Get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve." Hallelujah. Well, he wasn't done. Verse 9, "Then he brought him to Jerusalem, set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, if," here you go again, "if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here." How many of you know that the devil will try to use the word on you? He will. He'll try to use the word of God on you. And this is what he said, the devil, "For it is written." Jesus was putting the word on him. He said, "Okay, I'm going to put some word back on you. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you." And in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. I mean, he read the Bible. Verse 12, Jesus stayed with the word. See, let me tell you something. When Jesus spoke, it was anointed. What the devil said was not. He was trying to quote the word, but had no anointing on it whatsoever. And Jesus answered and said to him, this is verse 12, "It has been said, you shall not tempt the Lord your God." Oh, that's powerful right there. If you be the Son of God, jump off the pinnacle of the temple. Let me say something. Do you know if Jesus had done that, he would have never gone to the cross? And you and I would still be in big trouble. But Jesus told the devil, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. What was Jesus telling him? I am your God. I am God. Because who was he tempting? Jesus. The Son of God. God the Son. Hallelujah. Learn a lesson from Jesus' experience with the devil, and you come out a winner by putting the word of God on him. Even if he try to take God's word and twist it, you put the word back on him. Twisted word is not anointed. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Well, bless God. I didn't have this in my notes, but praise God anyway. Somebody shout amen.
Amen.
Now, I'm going to go just a few minutes. But go with me to 1 John. And I came over here because we have to watch out for the world. We do. 1 John. Let me get to there and I'll tell you where to go. Second chapter. 1 John, second chapter. Look at verse 15, 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. It says, do not love the world. It's talking to us. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Whoa. Y'all hear that? It's the world that the enemy wants us to go after, just like he offered Jesus the world. He's making the same offer to us. But look at what it says in verse 16. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. Are you ready for verse 17? Are you really, really ready for verse 17? And the world is passing away. Somebody shout hallelujah. And the world is passing away and the lust of it. But he who does the will of the Father abides forever. This world's going to pass away. But he that does the will of the Father abides forever. Glory be to God. Now I want to, I'll close on this one. Turn to the book of Genesis, very first book in the Bible. I want to show you an example of what we're talking about as we get ready to close this out. Genesis chapter 3. And I'll begin reading at verse 1. It says, "Now the serpent," which is the devil, "was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, Eve, "Has God indeed said, 'You shall not eat of every tree of the garden'?" And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat the fruit. We may eat the fruit of the garden, of the trees of the garden. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said," everybody say, "God has said." "God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die." Then the serpent said to the woman, "You will not surely die." Wow. "For God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be open and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." Now, notice Eve told him what God had said, not to eat of that tree. So she was aware of that, right? But then the devil contradicted God. But she fell for it. Why did she fall for it? How did she fall for it? All right, let's look at verse 6. You ready for this? So now she knew what God had said, right? Look at verse 6. "So when the woman saw," everybody say saw. Say it again. "When the woman saw that the tree was good for food." Guess what? Lust of the flesh. Lust of the flesh. Lust of the flesh. You know, lust is not limited to sexual activity. Matter of fact, the Bible talks to us, and even Jesus talked about gluttony and how we need to avoid it. Amen? I don't know how many of us read those verses. When I say us, I'm talking about in the body of Christ. But we ought to, really, we ought to use temperance when we eat. Just because it's buffet doesn't mean you need to eat. You know how folk get sometimes? Yeah, I'm here. I'm going to get my money's worth. Get back to the car. Honey, you drive. I'm miserable. No, we should eat enough and then get up. Amen. I got a couple of amens on that. I take what I can get. But notice, Eve looked at the fruit. Now, she knew what God had said. She looked at the fruit, and she saw that it was good for food. Well, she should have realized that anyway. God told them, don't eat of it. That tells you it's food, it can be eaten, but leave it alone. But that's not all. So, verse 6 again, this is Genesis chapter 3, verse 6. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and listen at this, that it was what? Pleasant to the eyes. Pleasant to the eyes. The lust of the eyes. The lust of the eyes. And, listen to this, a tree desirable to make one wise. Pride of life. Think about it. Now, we know Eve was deceived. Yes, she was. But she had a perfect situation. Perfect situation. There was no sin in the world. Just live in the presence of the Lord. Matter of fact, the Lord would come down in the cool of the evening, fellowship with them. But she saw that it was good for food. In spite of what God said, it's pleasant to the eyes, and it was certainly desirable. In other words, she says, I want that. And of course, you know the rest of the story. She took it of it, fruit, and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. And you can read the rest of that. We must be very careful that when God has spoken, that we do not allow the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, or the pride of life, cause us to step away from what God has said and disobey Him. We got to watch out for that. You have to understand, listen to me, same devil, same tricks, same methods. That's what John warned us about in 1 John chapter 2. All that's in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Amen.
Amen.
There's much more I could say, but we're going to stop right there. Thank you. Father, we thank you for your word that will never return to you void. May we be...